Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from the Psalm 34, continuing with our series on the Psalms. And then we'll also be reading from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. And you may remember that we did have a previous sermon on Psalm 34, where we looked at the first parts of the psalm, the verses 1 through 16. And throughout the New Testament, Psalm 34 is quoted three times. One time from the book of Acts, another time from the book of 2 Peter, and also from the Gospel of John. And we looked previously in the previous sermon on those other two quotations. But today we're going to focus on the last part of Psalm 34, verses 17 through 22, and also reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the verses 31 through 37. And so let's begin with our scripture reading. We're going to read the entire psalm. You see it there printed in your bulletins along with the outline on the opposite side. We'll read the entire psalm and then also from John 19. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And then if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, beginning at verse 31, and we'll be reading through verse 37. Again, this is the Word of God. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Psalm 34, and also in John 19. The gospel writer of John's quotation of Psalm 34:20 in John 19 leaves many people in a quandary. We have in Psalm 34 God's deliverance of David. David is surrounded by enemies, and he prays for God's help, and God delivers him and saves his life. Yet in John 19, where many say John 34 or Psalm 34 is quoted, we have Jesus dying on the cross. How could John be thinking of Psalm 34 when he looks at Jesus on the cross? When he states, as we see in verse 36, "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." David is saved, Psalm 34, but Jesus dies on the cross. You remember well that in Psalm 34, King David has fled from King Saul. King Saul wants to kill him because the women see that David has killed his tens of thousands of Philistines and Saul only his thousands, is their song. He runs from King Saul throughout the wilderness and he comes to the land of the Philistines, and there he is in the city of Gath, the city of Goliath, whom he had killed, and King Abimelech, king of the Philistines at Gath. Some of Abimelech's soldiers recognize him and they say to the king, "Is this not the one of whom the women sing? Saul has slain his thousands, and David, this David, has slain his tens of thousands of Philistines." And David, when he knows what the soldiers have done, puts on his insanity disguise. He lets the spit run down his beard. He acts as if he is insane. And when Abimelech sees David acting this way, he says, "This is a madman. Send him away. I do not need another madman within my city and among my people." And God delivers David from King Abimelech. And so in Psalm 34, David is writing a psalm of praise and of thanks to God for God's deliverance. Verse 1 through 3 express this. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." So David is expressing his thanks unto God for the salvation that God has given him from the king of the Philistines and from Saul. God has blessed him. God has saved him. And he even expresses it in verse 20. "He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken." David has survived this without a broken bone. And yet, the quandary is, for many, how could this then be a fulfillment of Psalm 34 with Jesus' death on the cross? As John observes what takes place on the cross, you have Jesus there who has been beaten to a pulp, who has a crown of thorns on his head, who has nails through his hands and his feet, and has a spear having been put through his side by the soldier, and water and blood running out his side. It seems as if David has been saved. God has saved his life, Psalm 34. But Jesus, who died on the cross, his life was ended there on the cross. Many have concluded that perhaps the quotation that John is referring to in John 19 has nothing to do with Psalm 34. Some say the closer connection is with Exodus 12:46 and Numbers 9, verse 12. Both of those passages speak of the unblemished Passover lamb. The Passover Lamb of God, who must, as the Israelites were instructed in the Old Testament, must be without blemish. He must be a lamb with no broken bones. A lamb that, as the Israelites sacrificed that Passover lamb, they would have experienced the blessing of the Passover meal, representing and pointing to the great Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross and who would pay for their sins. They were instructed in Exodus 12:46 and Numbers 9:12 that they have a lamb without a broken bone. And these commentators and even biblical text translators say what John has in mind here, you see, is the Passover Lamb. Jesus was the Passover Lamb who died on the cross. But if you look carefully at the words there in verse 36, you notice that the words are in quotes. John specifically tells us this took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So some part of the scripture is being fulfilled, and there's even a quote: not one of his bones will be broken. The words of that quote do not reflect similarity, certainly similar thought, but not specific words to the text that we find in Exodus 12:46 and Numbers 9, verse 12. The thought is the same, but the words are still very different in terms of the quote. Nevertheless, the quote of Psalm 34 is much more specific. The words of Psalm 34, verse 20, have much closer translated ties or connection with the actual text itself. In fact, if you look at the words in many of your Bibles, you'll see that some of the Bibles put Exodus 12:46 and Numbers 9:12 in parentheses, indicating the thought is the same, but not the text. And yet Exodus 34, verse 9, or verse 20, is the same in its words. Well, what should we do with this quandary? Some of the newer translations you have, even my ESV this morning, doesn't even refer to Psalm 34, verse 20, saying there is no connection between the psalm and between Jesus' death. But as we come to understand what is going on here in our text, as we seek to solve this issue, you have to understand that the gospel writer of John has a message for us, a message that connects us, yes, with Psalm 34, verse 20. And what he is doing in this message is he is bringing across a second point. Yes, if you want to take the position that, yes, he's applying this to the Passover lamb, nothing wrong with that interpretation. But as he connects it with Psalm 34, verse 20, he has a particular message, another message that he wants you, the reader, you, the Lord's children, to know and understand. Those connections are made in three particular points, which I've laid there on your outlines this morning. Three connections that John wants you to understand and to see. The first point has to do with Jesus as King of Israel. Throughout the book of John, Jesus is continually challenged by his enemies, by the Pharisees, by Jews, as to whether he truly was a king. At times they express the fact that Caesar is their king. And they want so badly to have a king that God would send a Messiah like David, who would come down and from heaven and would, as David once did, reconquer the world, reconquer the Roman Empire, that they could once again have their land as it was during the time of David. Well, as Jesus goes to the cross, as the Jews bring him there to the Romans, and he's crucified by the Romans there on the cross, They come to this point in the gospel where Jesus has died, and it's the soldiers who take the spear through his side. They have concluded in their minds that this Jesus was not a king. He was not like David. And there then would be no connection in their minds to Psalm 34. But you see, the gospel writer of John is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the reason he is quoting from Psalm 34 is because he is making that very specific point. He wants you, the reader, and he wants that Jewish audience who had all of these doubts to understand that, yes, there is a connection. I am quoting from Psalm 34, verse 20, and that connection is in terms of Jesus is a king, as the author of Psalm 34 was a king. David, who has fled from King Saul, David, whom God has delivered from the king of the Philistines. This is the King David of Psalm 34 who has authored this psalm, and now the psalmist, by quoting that psalm, is identifying Jesus with David, the once king of Israel, the royalty, the King David, the son of David, Jesus Christ, is the king who died on the cross. Now, how then is he making that connection? And why is that connection so very important? It has to do, you see, with the second point there on your outlines. We know he is referring to David because Jesus had no broken bones. Isn't that the point of Psalm 34? As David writes this psalm and he offers his praise unto God for God's deliverance of him, that God has saved him from the king of the Philistines, that God has delivered him from that king, and he has no broken bones. That is the distinctiveness of this particular psalm. David writes the psalm, God has delivered him, God has saved him from this wicked king, God has saved him from King Saul, and he states in verse 20, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. But now go to John 19. And as you look at the verses in context of where the quote is given in John 19, verse 36, notice how carefully and how specific John is as he writes of these events. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Verse 31. So the soldiers came, and they broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. You see, John is leading up to the specific point. The Sabbath day, you see, is coming. And those who have been crucified with Jesus are still alive. And the Jews do not want these bodies hanging on the cross as cursed sinners. They do not want them on the cross on the Sabbath day. And so the legs are broken so that the two criminals will die sooner, so that they will not be hanging there on the Sabbath. And so the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. And then look at verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. You see, what John is reflecting here in verse 33 is a specific fact which connects us with Psalm 34. The other criminals, they survived. They were still alive. Bones were broken because they needed to pass on before the Sabbath came. But when Jesus and they came to him, God had already taken him home. He had already passed on, you see. His legs did not need to be broken. His life had already ended. God had preserved the fact that they would not have to break his legs. And the evidence of that is that when they stuck the spear in his side out came blood and water, the blood having already settled, the plasma of the blood settling to the bottom, and the water on top, as even blood does today, indicating that he had already passed on and that he was dead. And so when John writes in verse 36, inspired by the Spirit, "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken." John has described what God has done, and John is describing what has happened at the cross as fulfillment of Psalm 34. You see, in Psalm 34, what distinguishes the psalm as being a psalm of David? No broken bones. God preserved his life, no broken bones. Now when you come to John 19, again we have Jesus, the king like David. Jesus, a greater king than David. And he identifies with Psalm 34. For he too has no broken bones. God preserved his body. And you say to yourself, but Jesus died. David is still alive. God preserved his life on earth from no harm. But Jesus is dead. But as you look again into our text, you notice that there is a verse between verse 34 and 36 in which John calls your attention to something else. John writes in verse 35, "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, that you may believe." You see, John is inserting in verse 35, inspired by God's Spirit, an important point about these events which he is writing about. A witness has borne witness to these things. A person has borne witness to these things. And his testimony is true. And he knows he's telling the truth. And he's writing them so that you may believe. That you may believe that the scriptures are being fulfilled. That you may believe that these things are taking place. And he writes these words. He speaks of his witness. His witness to what? He writes these words post-resurrection. He writes these words after John 21. After Jesus has been raised from the dead. It is true that Jesus' body in John 19 in these verses has died on the cross. But Jesus is not dead. You see, Jesus is alive. Even as he has died, his spirit is with God in heaven. And we see in the next chapter and the following chapter that his body and soul are raised from the dead. And the witness, what John reminds you in verse 35, is that witness has borne witness to his death and his resurrection. And that all of these things are true. And that Psalm 34 was fulfilled. Yes, Jesus died on the cross in John 19, but keep in mind that in his death, it is not an eternal death. It is an earthly death and an eternal life that he brings about with his resurrection from the dead. So yes, a second connection between Psalm 34 and John 19. But that brings us, you see, to a third important point, a third connection between these two texts, a third connection, which is God's point, John's point, for you to see. As you reflect on the fact that Jesus in Psalm 34, quoted in John 19, is a king like David, as you reflect on the fact that the connection between Psalm 34:20 and John 19:36 is the fact that there is no broken bone. What does that mean for John, for Jesus, for you? As you go to the end of Psalm 34, Notice how David introduces this verse, verse 20. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Verse 18, the first line, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Verse 19, the first line, many are the afflictions of the righteous. In verse 17, David is speaking of the righteous who cry for help and the Lord hears. In verse 19, David is speaking of the afflictions of the righteous who cry for help and God hears. In verse 18, he tells us in that first line how someone becomes righteous. David knows that he's still a sinner, but in this situation, he has been righteous and he has a broken heart. As David has fled from King Saul, he has done nothing but follow the Lord's commands as a man after God's own heart. He has fought the Philistines. Tens of thousands have died at his command, fighting against the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. As David has come before Abimelech, he is fleeing for his life from King Saul. He has done nothing wrong. He is righteous in this situation. And he tells us that when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. And what happens? Look at the second line. And delivers them from out of all their troubles. Look at the second line of verse 18. And saves the crushed in spirit. Look at the second line of verse 19. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. David is expressing the fact that he identifies himself as one of the righteous and as one of the righteous of whom the Lord hears. And he describes himself as one of those who has been delivered by God, delivered out of his trouble, saved from a crushed spirit. He has been delivered out of all of the afflictions. And the evidence that he has been delivered for David in this psalm, the evidence that he is one of those righteous, suffering servants of God. Verse 20, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. He has no broken bone. The evidence in Psalm 34 that he is one of the righteous, that he is God's righteous, suffering servant. And when John thinks of Psalm 34, verse 20, and he has witnessed what has taken place upon the cross, he is thinking much more than just the fact that Jesus was like the Passover lamb who died. John has another point for you to see and to understand and for his readers to know that has taken place in the fulfillment of this psalm. That Jesus died, like David, as a righteous, suffering servant. And the evidence that he was righteous, the evidence that he was perfectly righteous, is like David. No bone was broken. One commentator puts it this way: God keeps the bones of Jesus from breaking because it is God's verdict that Jesus was righteous. A parallel passage from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, verse 47, records the centurion before the cross. And as he looks and gazes upon Jesus and how he dies, he states this in verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent," or as many of your translations say, righteous. You see, the fact that Jesus' bones were not broken connects him to Psalm 34 because it connects him to the fact that he was God's righteous suffering servant, the perfect, righteous, suffering servant of God who suffered no broken bone. And the testimony that John wants you to see is to understand that because no bone was broken, it is God's verdict. He was perfectly righteous, your perfectly righteous Savior, Son of God, who died for you on the cross and paid for your sins. As a perfectly righteous Savior, he alone was a worthy sacrifice, for he did not sin, that he could die and pay for the sins of all of God's people. And those who put their faith and trust in this Lamb of God, this righteous servant of God, who died on the cross and paid for their sins, his righteousness then, his perfect righteousness is given over to them. There are criminals at the cross. Their legs are broken. Jesus had already died. No broken bone for the fulfiller of Psalm 34, who was delivered because of his righteous suffering with no broken bone. Do you see how the quotation of this psalm applies to you? What John has in mind in this psalm is the righteousness of Christ, is the fact that this sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, paid for your sins, that he was perfectly righteous, and that his righteousness belongs to you, paying for your sins forevermore. And yet, there are still two verses in Psalm 34. These last two verses reflecting that even King David understood more than this being about himself, understanding this being more about being just delivered from an earthly king to continue his earthly life. For as you go to the last two verses of Psalm 34, David lays out for us a contrast again, which helps us understand his point. Verse 21, affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Abimelech, the people of the Philistines who hate the righteous, they will be condemned. Those who hate the righteous Savior and reject him, they will be condemned. But, verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. David understands redemption even then. He understands that the Lord is the one who redeems, who saves the life of his servants. And then he says, none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Those who take refuge in the righteous Savior, the righteous Son of God, the Savior who John tells us died without a broken bone, the Savior who was perfectly righteous and died for the sins of God's people as perfectly righteous, those who take refuge in him as their Lord and Savior will not be condemned. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34, quoted in John 19, does not leave us with a quandary. It does not leave us trying to figure out how Psalm 34 could be quoted here and that perhaps it isn't and we need to find another text that applies. No. John, inspired by God's Spirit, is telling us that our Savior died for us and that those who take refuge in him and know that his righteous suffering paid for their sins. Know that they will not be condemned. They will never die. They will rise from the dead as the witness saw Jesus do, knowing the salvation and refuge of God. Do you know this refuge? Do you know this Savior? Is this salvation yours? John's asking. The scriptures are asking. God is asking. Find your hope. Find your salvation in him. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this text from Psalm 34 and John 19, a text which reminds us of what our Savior did on our behalf. For Lord, he was our King, and he is our King. And we rejoice, Lord, in the salvation that he has come to bring. That, Lord, not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. And that we are part of that army of salvation that proclaims the gospel and the truth of that salvation he came to bring. May you remind us, O Lord, of our righteous Savior, that as no bone was broken, we too have come to understand that he was perfectly righteous. That, Lord, he died for our sins, to remove our sins, and his righteousness now belongs to us, that when we take refuge in him, O Lord, no condemnation before you for us. Grant us, O God, your grace to understand these things, to believe these things. May we know them, may we live them, may we sing them, and give glory to you each day, each minute of our lives. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.